Hi, my name's Ian Spencer, and my call sign's Delta Juliet Zero Hotel Fox, and this is section one of the ICOM R8500 receiver. And it's a look at the control panel and the rear panel of the receiver, and I'm going to do it as a walk around. With the R8500 in front of you, the top section of the transceiver, from quite far to the left, across the middle and to the right, is the display section of the receiver. And below the display, in the middle of the receiver, is the large knob, which is the tuning knob. And if you go to the top left-hand corner of the front panel of the receiver, and then down very slightly, 45 degrees, you will come to the power button. And then below this is the sleep stroke set button. When quickly pushed, it starts sleep mode, which means the receiver will automatically go off after 30, 60 or 120 minutes, depending on how it's been set. Below that is the record remote. This is a small jack socket which can be connected to the remote control of a tape recorder to start and stop it. And below that is another jack socket, which is record out, which outputs low-level audio for feeding into a tape recorder. And below that is the jack socket for the phones. Now, if we go up again to the top of those three sockets, that's the record remote, and across to the right, we find four horizontal buttons, which are used to select the mode. The left one is wideband FM. Next to that on the right is FM, then AM, and on the far right, SSB stroke CW. If you move back across the buttons to the wideband FM button, that's the left one of the four, and then go down, you'll come to a new button, which is noise blanker and AFC, which turns on the noise blanker on HF bands and turns on the automatic frequency control if you're on FM. And across to the right from that, there are further three buttons. So there are these four buttons below the mode buttons. And to the right of the noise blanker AFC button is AGC, which changes the AGC between fast and slow. To the right of that is the attenuator, 10 dB. And to the right of that is the 20 dB attenuator button. And if you press and hold the 10 dB button and then hit the 20, you will get 30 dBs of attenuation. Now, if you move to the left again to that noise blanker AFC button, so it's the left-hand button of this row, and go vertically down, you'll come to a rotary control. This is the AF gain control. And if you move to the right of that, you get another control, which is the squelch control. And if you move to the right of that, you have another control, which actually has an outer and an inner ring. The outer ring is IF shift, so it sets the bandpass and can move it about to remove interference or improve reception. The inner one, if you move it to the left, it moves the audio bandpass lower in frequency, and if you move it to the right, it moves the audio bandpass higher in frequency, again, so that you can try to get better reception and maybe avoid interference. Now, if you move up to that top row of mode buttons, to the right-hand button, which was SSB and CW, if you now move across to the right, you'll come to another oddly shaped button, which is TS up. Pressing this will increase the tuning step. And the steps that you can use are 10 Hz, 50 Hz, 100 Hz, 1 kHz, 2.5 kHz, 5 kHz, 9 kHz, 10 kHz, 12.5 kHz, 20 kHz, 25 kHz, 100 kHz, and 1 MHz. And if you just go down slightly to the left from this button, you'll get another oddly shaped button, which is tuning step down. So you can change the tuning steps either up or down. And below that is another little button called speech lock. If you just press it quickly, then it will speak the frequency, provided you have the IC102 audio board fitted. And if you press and hold it, you can lock it so that it will automatically speak. And then if you go down from that, there is the APF button. This is the audio peak button. And if you press it quickly, then it will turn on the audio peak function, which means that knob just to the left, the inner knob, the APC knob, is able to shift the audio bandpass up and down. If you press it in for longer, then it will toggle between wide audio bandwidth and narrow audio bandwidth. And that covers all the controls on the left-hand side of the transceiver. As I said, the main tuning knob is in the middle of the receiver, below the display. In the top right-hand side of the receiver are a lot of buttons. So if you can find the upper edge of the display and then move to the right, you'll find a number of buttons both horizontally and vertically. These are the numeric and alphanumeric entry buttons. So the very top left-hand button of this group is 1, to the right of that is 2, and then 3. And if you go back then across to 1 and go down, you've got another row of 3 small buttons, 4, 5, and 6. And below those, 7, 8, and 9. And below that, 3 buttons. The left-hand one is the decimal point, or move left. The middle one is 0. And the right-hand one is CE, or move right. CE being clear entry when you are changing memory channels. These buttons can also be used to enter alphabetic characters if you're naming a memory channel. So button number 1 is either Q or Z. So if you press it once, you get 1. If you press it twice, you get Q. If you press it 3 times quickly, you get Z. 2 is A, B, and C. 3 is D, E, and F. 4 is G, H, I. 5 is J, K, L. 6 is M, N, O. 7 is P, R, S. 8 is T, U, V. And 9 is W, X, Y. Now if you go to the top right-hand corner of the transceiver and come down at 45 degrees to the left, you'll come to a larger button, which is the memory channel bank button. If you enter a number on the keypad, for example 1 or 23 or whatever you want, and then press this button, it will change the receiver to that memory channel. If you press this button without entering anything on the numeric keypad, then you'll go up one bank of memory channels. And directly below this button is another one, which if you've entered a number on the keypad and hit enter, then it will select this frequency. And if you press this button when you have not entered anything on the numeric keypad, then it will go down one bank in the memory banks. So if you want to set a frequency directly for the receiver, you can enter it on those numeric memory buttons and then press the enter button that I've just described, which is to the right and below the memory channel button. And if you want to store the frequency in a memory, then you have to then press the MW memory write button, which we'll see in a short time. As I say, there are a lot of buttons on the right hand side of the receiver. And if you go down from that large group of number buttons that we just talked about, below the row, which was left, 0 and right, then you'll come to another horizontal row of buttons. And they're nearly all to do with programming and scanning, which is going to be really difficult to use without having the soundboard installed. The first row of these buttons, horizontal row, the left-hand one, is memo, which can be used to start and stop memory scans. The next button to the right is prog, which starts and stops programmed memory scans where you've set upper and lower limits for the scan. To the right of that is the auto button, which when pressed causes the scan to automatically store new frequencies it finds in the memories. And the next button to the right is the priority button, which starts priority scan, which means it keeps jumping to a frequency which you have set as a priority frequency. Now, if we go to the left of those buttons again, so to the memo button, and down, you'll come to the select button. This is the first of another group of four horizontal buttons. This is used to start and stop something called memory select scan. To the right of that is the skip button. Pressing this button will turn on or off the skip function, which causes the scan to skip channels which are set as skip channels. And to the right of that is the VSC button, which turns on the voice control while scanning. And to the right of that is the DLY delay D/S button, which you can use to make the scan continue if it's stopped on a frequency. And it can also be used to set the delay, which is used before automatically continuing a scan. Now, if we go back again to the left hand of those buttons, that is the select button, and we go vertically down, then we get to buttons which are used to control the memories. The first one we get to, and we go down, is MSET. Pressing this copies the currently selected frequency into a free memory location. To the right of this is another small button, Bank. This turns on or off the channel limit function for a bank, which means if it's turned on, you can only select memory channels within the current bank. If it's turned off, you can select any memory channel. And then if we go to the left again to the MSET button, and then down, we get MClear. If you press this and hold it, it will clear the memory location currently selected. And to the right of that is that MW memory write button, which you can use to write frequencies into memories after you've entered them on the numeric keypad, and then press the enter button. And to the right of these buttons are two knobs, an inner and an outer. The outer button selects what's called the delay or speed. That is how long the receiver stops on a channel before it continues scanning. The inner knob is the memory channel selector. You rotate this, it will switch through the stored memory channels, either in the current bank or all the channels if the bank limit is off. And that concludes the basic tour of the front panel. Let's now take a look at the rear panel of the ICR8500. On the rear panel, at the left-hand side, near the top, is a long connector. This is the RS232C connector, which allows you to connect the receiver to a PC via a serial COM port. Just to the right of that is a control jack, which is CI-V or CI-5 remote control, the standard remote control system used by ICOM receivers and transceivers. To the right of that is the IF out jack, which outputs a 10.7 MHz IF signal, and it also provides 9 volts DC for external equipment. Next to that on the right is the AGC jack. This jack has functions which are selectable through internal receiver settings. Outputs an AGC signal for external equipment, which is what it usually does, or it can be set to output audio detected signals without de-emphasis for 9600 bits per second data detection, which only works in FM mode. And to the right of that, and near the top, is the DC 13.8 volt jack. So this is a jack with three pins, horizontal pins. And this connects to a 13.8 volt DC power source using the supplied DC cable when the AC adapter is not connected. And to the right of that, and slightly down, we come to the external speaker jack. And to the right of the external speaker jack, we come to the DC in jack, which connects to the optional AC adapter. So if you don't use the 13.8 volt DC in, then you can use an optional AC adapter on this jack. And it has a regulator circuit in the adapter designed to be produced 13.8 volts at the jack. And you have to be sure the jump connection is connected to the DC 13.8 volt jack. And if you move back to the left to that speaker jack and then go down, we will come to an SO239, which is the main HF 50 ohm antenna connector for the frequency range up to 30 megahertz. And if you go to the left of that, then you'll come to a ground terminal. And if you go to the left of that, you'll come to another antenna connector. It's not clear whether it's an SO239 or an N-type, but this is an HF 500 ohm antenna connector for use with higher impedance long wire antennas. And it says you have to set the HF antenna item in the menu to use this connector, as for 500 ohms. And finally, if we go to the right again, to that first HF antenna connector, the 50 ohm SO239, and then go down, we'll come to another antenna connector, a smaller one, which is the VHF UHF antenna connector, and connects to antennas to cover the frequency range above 30 megahertz. And it says this is an N-type connector. And that concludes the walk around of the front panel and rear panel of the ICOM R8500 receiver.